760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and happy Tuesday. We are so glad you are here with us on The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in a journey, and I am blessed to be here. Oh, am I not happy enough?
Happy.
I am so happy.
There you go.
My head's hurting a tad, so the joy of the Lord is still in me, but help me, Lord. Just exude the joyful day that we have today, because it is a special day.
It is. And before we get into that, we will say a quick prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, thank you so much for 1 year of The Morning Quest, for the wonderful guests and listeners, and it's just become a wonderful family. I just pray that you guide us throughout this day and every future episode, so it may be anointed with your grace, goodness, and guidance. Thy will, not ours, be done, as I say. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Mother Mary,
pray
for us.
St. Padre Pio,
pray for us.
Yeah.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
I think it's fair to say the show's lasted longer than I expected.
Josh, you're so funny.
Well, especially if you heard any of our practice sessions leading up to the launch of the show.
Yeah.
We practiced this many times, and it was rough. And I remember telling Carol, who's I call her our lead volunteer, but she's kind of in charge around here, and I remember telling her, I said, you can't listen the first week. Do not listen.
That's hilarious.
Well, I mean, because our practice, we came in here early Saturday mornings in August of last year and practiced doing our show. And this actually went out over the air, but it was before the transmitter got up to full power. And those were some rough practice sessions.
My whole goal when we started was for the show to last long enough for me to get another job.
And here you are.
Yeah, here we are.
I really can't believe it's been a year.
I know.
It flew by.
Yeah. Well, it had to have been the Holy Spirit, honestly, because that first day, we should go back and listen to it, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But the first day, it went so much better than I could have even imagined it would.
Yeah.
And this morning show is something we've been in preparation for. I mean, I started here in January of 22, and we were talking about it then.
Really?
Yeah. And then I made a visit to the Sunrise Morning Show in person. They're in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And met with Anna Mitchell and all the people up there, and it was just a lot of preparation for something we had never done before. We're kind of listening to some Catholic radio shows around the country, and just morning shows in general, and just trying to figure out what we were doing, and I think we figured it out.
No, I think it's really cool. And, you know, after listening to other morning shows, a lot of them don't have all these moving parts and different segments. I mean, we pack a lot into an hour.
Mm-hmm. We really do. We have so many incredible contributors.
Oh, yes.
Well, and from day one, I mean, Father Silloway at All Saints.
Absolutely. And Father White.
Father Mark White.
Father Blatt.
Father Adam Blatt, yeah. I mean,
Father Revac was one of the originals.
From day one, yeah. And we're probably forgetting somebody, but still, I mean, just the great talent we've had to help contribute to this show, too, is just incredible. And the two of you, too. I mean, you guys you guys are so different, but I think you complement each other well on the air.
Josh is like another one of my children.
Yeah.
I'm not Josh. No, you're not. I'm not saying you're a child, but no, it's...
Well, then I expect you to take care of this medical bill that I just got slammed.
Just send it over. Yeah. Send it over, dear. Oh my gosh. No, Josh, you're amazing. And it's so funny because when we first started, you are so smart and you know so much. I mean, you are gifted. The Lord has gifted you in so many ways.
He's gifted me with ChatGPT. So yeah, it sounds smart. I sound smart on air.
No, but truly, no, it is a joy working with you. And I cannot even tell you, if people saw us beforehand, I mean, I am laughing every single morning. You two make me laugh. Just the things you say and how you act, it's hilarious.
You get incapacitated. Like,
just I really do.
Completely out of control with laughter sometimes.
We got to show some of these. Yeah, we got to show some of these bloopers that don't make it on the air with her just in a laughing fit. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
No, it is. So, no, it is. It's truly a joy. A lot of moving parts. A lot of work goes into the show. A lot of work goes into the show. But it's a lot of fun. It really is. Mm-hmm. And just finding all those amazing people, amazing events happening within the Archdiocese, having them come on and talk. And again, we get to talk to people when the producers of movies, you know, yesterday that was so great, talking to Kevin Matthews about, you know, Mary.
Oh, so cool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Broken Mary. I'm like, so what a gift we have here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Allison brings so much to the show as well. I mean, just with her organizational skills, her people skills, really.
My parents are laughing right now. Organizational.
Oh. Well, compared to Josh.
Compared to me. You look like Martha Stewart. But
how about work? When I'm doing work, yeah, I'm super organized.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely a likability and a gift for creating connections as well, which is so important for making a show like this work. So we are super grateful for you listening. It has been such a thrill ride, and again, it's formative for me as well. I mean, I get to go someplace, and Allison will look at me all the time, just say, aren't we blessed? Especially after, you know, an interview with, you know, Father Silloway, or a great Bible study where we're just having our souls fed.
Yeah, I've learned a lot too over this past year.
I mean, seriously, having a job where you're spiritually fed, I'm like, this ain't get better than this.
Amen.
Now let's see if we can make it 2 years.
Here's to another year.
We'll call Dave. He'll be like the bookie, okay? You can put a wager.
What?
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
We have an outstanding show today. Kayla Glenn, Health Advocacy Department Director from RHM Gynecology, is going to be discussing fertility awareness on this four-part segment from our Women's Health series. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Padre Pio. Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, reflects on today's gospel reading. But next, Father Silloway, pastor of All Saints in Dunwoody, will be continuing the conversation about living liturgically.
Mostly sunny today with a high near 88. Another hot one. It's 65 at 8:08.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
We are joined by Father Silloway, pastor of All Saints in Dunwoody, discussing living liturgically. How are you, Father?
I am great, thank you. How are you doing this morning?
You know, I think that that is such a great way to just accentuate how you're doing. How you doing? I'm living liturgically, okay? Living large
doing
and liturgically,
great.
Yeah.
Exactly, that's the whole point.
It is the whole point. This is such a cool topic that you're unpacking for us, Father. Thank you so much. But before we dive into your topic, how are the people at All Saints doing with the passing of Monsignor Fennessy?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. We're doing okay. I know a lot of people are still grieving, and we're still kind of in shock, to be honest with you, because it all happened so quickly. But for those who may not know, a very beloved pastor here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta, Monsignor Jim Fennessy, passed away last Monday on the memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. He's just deeply beloved. He served at half the parishes in the Archdiocese over his 60 something years of ministry.
Wow.
We were blessed to have him here in his retirement, where he'd been living for the past 12 years. And so the people of All Saints got to know him very well and love him deeply, and just his joy, his kindness. So we're hanging in there, adjusting to a new normal without that boisterous Irish laugh in the rectory and around the parish grounds. But I did want to update people, too, that if you'd like to pay respects to Monsignor Fennessy, and the surviving members of his family are in town from Ireland as well.
Wow.
There will be a viewing and a vigil for him at 6 p.m. on Wednesday at St. Jude. So the vigil and viewing at St. Jude at 6 p.m. And then the next morning, Thursday morning at 10 a.m. at the cathedral, will be his funeral. And the Archbishop will celebrate that. And as I told everybody here at All Saints, if you plan to go, get there early, because he's very beloved. And I know a lot of priests are going to be there, and mm-hmm. the priests alone take up half the cathedral.
Wow.
So to pay honor and respect to this beloved priest, and to give thanks to God for his life and to commend him to the Lord, everybody's welcome.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
I just want to throw in one thing here real quick, is that in case you missed it, Thursday, the very last hour of the pledge drive, we did a tribute to him, mm-hmm. and we're going to replay that on Thursday. We're not exactly sure of the time, but be listening for promos on the air. We'll be talking about it.
Potentially like 3 o'clock.
I think possibly right after the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3, yeah.
Cool, cool. Mm-hmm.
That's excellent, and thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for contributing to that.
Yeah, and
too.
By the way, there was somebody who was listening to that, who was a guest the other day in the mm-hmm. studio, and she said she was just weeping as she listened to it. So you definitely gave him a fitting tribute, Father. Thank you so much.
Well, it's an honor. It's easy to do because of the kind of man that he was and the kind of priest that he was. So mm-hmm. he revealed the heart of Jesus.
Yes, amen. And speaking of heart, I know that when we live within the rhythm of the church, our hearts grow. So can you remind us what it means to live liturgically?
Yeah. So if you remember before the pledge drive and before I went on these retreats and everything, so like a month ago almost, I was like, let's kick off a new kind of series in these little sessions and about living liturgically. And what I mean by that is simply that the Second Vatican Council tells us that the liturgy, meaning the official prayers of the church, which the highest form of that is the Eucharistic liturgy, the Mass, the liturgy is the source and the summit of our whole Christian existence, meaning it's the start and the end. It's where we get our energy to go do the things of the gospel, and it's the objective. It's the final end goal. Like what heaven's going to be like the Mass. It's like I like to tell people, wow. If you think the Mass is boring, you're not going to like heaven. But when we understand what the Eucharistic liturgy actually is, how it's a foretaste of heaven, like everything changes. And so I wanted to kind of take some of these opportunities on the radio to just share what it means to really enter into the liturgy and let the liturgy kind of be the lens through which we encounter our whole reality, the entirety of our lives. So that's what I mean by living liturgically. So taking elements of how we pray and letting that impact deeply our lives.
It's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I mean, there's more time, also in the church calendar than major seasons, right? Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter. So can you break these down for us?
Yeah. So we're all aware that of that kind of cyclical nature of the church calendar, that we do have those big seasons. They're marked by, this is kind of the whole progression of the liturgical year, anticipation of the coming of the Savior. The Savior is born. What it means to who he is and what it means to be his follower, so a time of discipleship, and then the celebration of the Paschal mystery, so how he fulfills all the prophecies, and then his death and his resurrection, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the commissioning and living of the gospel, and then finally, as we get into November, which we're now close to now, is the glorification. Mm-hmm. So if the Jesus Christ is the King of the universe, and then we start it all over again with another Advent anticipation. So we have that built-in kind of cyclical nature to it. It kind of follows even just the call of nature. It's so beautiful that even the supernatural is given a foretaste in the natural. So like the cyclical nature of the seasons, this birth and spring, new life, new growth, new flowering, new spreading forth of plants and harvest, and then everything kind of dies and goes dormant. So and then it starts all over again. But beyond those things, the church describes in the celebration of the liturgy this particular term called progressive solemnity. Now raise your hand if you've ever heard that before.
I have not.
Progressive solemnity. What that means is that even in the throughout the course of the year, no matter what season we're in liturgically, there's elevated elements of the way we worship. So solemnity means the particular dignity, gravitas to a particular liturgical celebration. And so it progressive meaning it's on kind of a sliding scale. You've got very simple things like the most kind of, I don't want to say mundane, but the most, let's say, ordinary, the basic level of liturgical celebration would be called a ferial day, which is like Thursday of the eighth week in ordinary time. Mm. So there's no particular celebration we're having. It's just, it's part of that regular just kind of breath of the church. And so Mass is just very straightforward on those days. But then it starts to progress. You have what colloquially people would call feast days, but there's a lot of categories within what feast days are, because not everything's actually a feast day. So you have things like an optional. So there's two kinds of memorials. There's an optional memorial and obligatory memorial. An optional memorial, kind of self-explanatory, the priest can choose to celebrate it or not. So it's a saint. I'm trying to think of who's an optional memorial off the top of my head. There's a lot of them. But then you have obligatory memorials, which the whole universal church is celebrating together. So whether or not the priest has a devotion to the saint, whether or not the parish has a devotion to the saint, everybody's got to. Yeah. So like Padre Pio today is an obligatory memorial. So John Paul II instituted that across the world, no matter where you are, every church will celebrate the memorial of Padre Pio. So then you have true feast days, like the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord, the feast day of the beheading of John the Baptist, for instance. These are feast days. And then above that, the highest is a solemnity. So like every Sunday is a solemnity. Most of the major events of our life, of our Lord's life and our Lady's life are solemnities, like the Annunciation, the birth of Christ, Easter Sunday, and also every Sunday along the way are all solemnities. So within this progressive solemnity, the higher the rank, the more stuff is added to the Mass, the more solemnity is added into the Mass. So you'll have special readings, like for optional and obligatory memorials, there are special readings that kind of break from the, you can choose to use them, the normal cycle of readings throughout the year. You'll add the Gloria once you get into things like feast days and solemnities. You'll add a second reading once you get into solemnities. You'll add the Creed once you get into solemnities. And so the church adds more solemnity to its worship as we go along.
Oh, that's wonderful, Father. So what can we do to enter into these celebrations throughout the year?
Yeah. So to live this, to like put it into practice in your own life, I would say, like, first of all, to become familiar with this progressive solemnity. There's all kinds of great resources. The USCCB website, you can go there and they'll show you the liturgical calendar of everything that's upcoming. Or like what I did when I got into seminary, I'd never heard of this book before. It had kind of disappeared for generations, but it's called The Daily Roman Missal. And you can buy this, and it's your own. It's kind of this big book that has all the readings for every Mass throughout the year, all the prayers for every Mass, all kinds of devotions. But it's also got the whole calendar of saints, and it tells you what level of celebration each one is. So you can follow through in that and just kind of enter in on your own. There's great things like the Magnificat and other similar publications, kind of monthly, that come out to do the same thing as the Daily Roman Missal, just broken down into pieces. So things like, too, if you know, hopefully everybody knows their confirmation saint, everybody knows their favorite saint, like find their feast day and go celebrate it. Let that be a special day. Let it be a progressive solemnity even within your own personal calendar. Treat that day with something special, like go get a good lunch or get a good dinner that day or get together and celebrate in some way, particularly by going to Mass that day. Thank God for that saint's intercession in your life. And another way, and my final point, would be incorporating progressive solemnity into the home life. So putting more emphasis, more fun stuff, just like the church puts more fun stuff into the liturgy, the higher the rank of the solemnity. So to at home, so like on a feast day, if the church is celebrating, you celebrate too. Let that be a day like you go into the dining room, you know, and you set it aside and it's like, we're going to do something special today. Or if you like to go out to eat and you're able to do that, maybe that could be a great day to go out. And then on a solemnity, be like, all the more, be like, not only are we going to eat in the dining room, but it's going to be steak dinner on the fancy china.
Oh, you know, so just, I love this.
Just kind of like how we celebrate, like normal, you have normal dinner, just kind of everybody fend for themselves, or we're having leftovers. That's kind of a ferial day.
Yeah.
And then you can kick it up various notches. Like, so when somebody's birthday, you're going to go all out. You're going to celebrate big time. You're going to have dessert. You're going to maybe open up a bottle of wine or something, if that's what you're into. So adding, when the church celebrates, celebrate with the church, even at home.
That's I love wonderful. This.
You can make it like Oprah, like look underneath your seat cushion at the dinner table. You get an iPad. You get an iPad. Yeah. That's wonderful. You know, I'll just say really quick, you bring up a great point. And someone who has been a guest and a listener of the show, she says she loves the saints of the day because she hears the saint of the day and she tells that to her kids is a bedtime story about that saint. So, I mean,
that's
kind
perfect.
Of like living in that liturgical rhythm. And that's a small way to do it, right? But I love how you're talking about like anchoring the rhythm of our life around the rhythm of the church. So, so important and very powerful words, Father. Thank you so much.
That's what we're going to be doing in eternity. So,
amen.
Start now.
Amen. That's a good closing on a high note. We've been talking to Amen. Father Siloway, pastor of All Saints in Dunwoody, about living liturgically. Looking forward to the next one, Father.
Likewise.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Kayla Glenn, Health Advocacy Department Director from RHM Gynecology, discusses fertility awareness on this four-part segment in the Women's Health Series. Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Padre Pio, but next, Father Scott Riley, pastor St. Brendan the Navigator, reflects on today's gospel reading.
Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Hey, good morning. Josh, good morning to you, too.
Great morning, now that you're here, Padre.
Oh, thanks. Luke 8, 19-21.
Mm-hmm.
The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they wish to see you." He said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it, the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Ouch! Oh,
I know.
Then what did Mary think?
Mm-hmm.
And was Jesus, was he being mean? Was he not fulfilling the commandments? Mm-hmm. Honor your father, your mother? So, Josh, what do you think?
Man, well, I'm going to go with, since it is Jesus, I'm going to guess no. He was, you know, because God is love. But if I hadn't been walking down this road for a little bit, I mean, even now when I read this, I'm like, it kind of feels like it's got a little bit of a burn to it, you know, even though I know that's not the intention. But if you're just reading it without any context of who the person of Christ is, it can... You need some explaining.
Well, you know, that's a really good point you make there, because how often things in our lives don't make sense right away,
mm-hmm.
but we have to have context, and we have to kind of like venture out and see the bigger picture. So that means we got to pause a little bit. Mary, she would ponder things in her heart. We know that.
Yeah.
She'd ponder them, and she'd go over them. So he's giving her a message. Who fulfilled God's will perfectly after Jesus? Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever does the will of my Father is my mother. So he's doubling down on the fact that you are my mother. You are my mother.
Yeah.
But he's spreading that out now.
Yeah.
But truly, she is the mother,
mm-hmm.
the Theotokos.
Yeah.
And my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. And then this was us thinking about the other day, too, because you always get people, I mean, I feel it, too. Sometimes you're just not connecting in prayer. There's something, I just can't connect. I don't know. Do I got to do something differently or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, God is there. He's helping us to grow in our faith and our trust in him. But there's another way to confirm for yourselves, to validate that you are actually praying well,
mm-hmm.
is by fulfilling God's will in your life.
Oh, that's a good word, yeah.
So, you know, because we could be actually thinking, oh, man, I'm really praying well. You know, like that one, that parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee... Oh, thank you, Father. You know, I do this, I do that, and you know, and he's thinking, and in that text, actually, it says that, and the Pharisee prayed to himself.
Wow.
God did not hear his prayer.
Mm.
He said it to himself.
Wow.
And that tax collector,
wow.
"Be merciful to me, a sinner." So he's trying to conform his life. The other one, not. So when we have a tough time in our life, just to see how are we living God's will.
Yeah.
And then I think that can help a lot. Mary lived it in all fullness.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
That's a good word, man. That's a great word. It's a reminder, too, of this talk that I heard when I was on a retreat and it was given by this wonderful holy Dominican, and he spoke about how there was somebody in their religious order very highly regarded for their holiness, and he was giving these outstanding talks during this retreat, and finally it was time for him to give his talk on prayer. So it's packed with all these Dominicans. They're so excited to hear what he has to say. He gets up on the stage and he says, "Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you the most important thing you can know about prayer." And they're just leaning in. And he said, "Just show up." And he gets off the stage. That's the entire talk.
Wow.
And for me, I still remember that, because you talk about prayer and the manifestation of that, or the fulfillment of that, is, you know, the charity being actualized in your life. And so often we could think, well, there's so many different ways to pray. Am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? But the most important thing is, are we showing up?
Mm-hmm. I would qualify that, though.
Yeah.
Okay, because let's just say you could show up, let's say, to a cocktail party.
Yeah.
And you're just not there. Your mind is in worries. Your mind is just lost.
Yeah.
"Hey, Josh, how's it going? Huh?" Yeah. So with prayer, we can't control what we feel. Mm-hmm. But definitely, are we showing up with our heart?
Yes, yes.
Are we showing up with our mind, trying to focus? But above all, our hearts.
Yes, good word.
And then God, it's up to Him to inundate us with His grace and His light and His consolations. And a lot of times in prayer, it's not consolation, but He's challenging us to give up this, that, or the other, to be more and more like Jesus. Mm-hmm.
And that's a great point. You know, I think that's the emphasis of what I believe this guy was getting at. You can't control the outcome necessarily in terms of how supernatural the experience may or may not feel, but kind of like a marriage, are you showing up and being present for your wife regardless if you feel like you're in love or not?
Right.
And I think that was what's so poignant. You talked about Mother Teresa, Father. That's one thing that's so poignant about her story, is she went through decades of desolation, and yet she still remained faithful to the call He put on her life. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an inspiration for us. And hopefully, if we say yes to that call, we feel, you know, that gentle consolation that we are in Christ's family as well. His brother, His sister, His mother,
right,
as He phrases it.
Right.
So the takeaway would be?
I would say, one takeaway is follow God's will. Mm-hmm. Follow your conscience, but inform your conscience.
Inform for conscience, yeah.
Inform your conscience. I think that's the takeaway.
Beautiful.
Form your conscience with true church doctrine.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Scott Rowley.
Amen. Hasta luego.
Yes. Another terrific Tuesday, thanks to you. Some news from the Catholic News Agency. On October 7th, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. Check this out. 1 million children around the world will join together to pray for peace and unity. That's a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. The initiative, supported by the Aid to Church in Need, began 20 years ago in Venezuela and has since spread worldwide. Organizers remind us that children's prayer has a special power before God to break down walls, heal wounds, and bring light to the darkness. Families, parishes, and schools are all invited to take part, so resources and registration can be found at acninternational.org. That's acninternational.org. So on October 7th, let's join together in lifting up the rosary, trusting that prayer can change the world.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Kayla Glenn, Health Advocacy Department Director from RHM Gynecology, discusses fertility awareness. But next, Chuck Persner helps you get acquainted with St. Padre Pio.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with...
It is 8:34.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison, and good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuckadoo.
Happy anniversary to you both. What a run.
I know. And so the anniversary is for...
our first show ever, and just in time to announce our cancellation.
Josh.
Just kidding.
That was good of Allison to point that out because they're not married. I mean, it's like what I said, happy anniversary to you both. It's true.
And that's why I'm like, please, it's our first year anniversary with our show.
So I bought in a few 100 grand bars to celebrate. I had to bring something for you guys. They're quite delicious, as you know.
Wow. Well, let's just say as a first time, as a professional comedian, this is the first time I've ever seen 100 grand. Okay.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's true. The same scholar over here in the corner hasn't seen many stacks of $100 bills either, I can tell you.
You have essentially fronted me a decade's pay, and I appreciate it.
There you go, Josh.
We do it for love of the game, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, symbolic. We don't pursue the treasures of this world. Mm-hmm. Instead, we work for souls.
Amen.
As did our saint today.
Absolutely, and,
On September 23rd, we do celebrate a man who was so passionate, almost desperately passionate for souls, mm-hmm. in St. Padre Pio, a true giant of the Catholic Church, perhaps better known, again, to his million devotees as St. Padre Pio. His full name is St. Pius of Pietrelcina. That's how he will appear in mass supplements, but again, better known as St. Padre Pio. And at the age of 15, Francesco Forgione entered the novitiate of the Capuchin friars at Morcone. He took the name Pio, mm-hmm. in honor of Pope Pius I.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
In fact, we've talked about the pious popes throughout this last year or so that you've been on the air. It's the exact year that you've been on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never come up. So maybe we'll do a segment on him. I don't know if he's ever achieved sainthood, but we've talked about Pius the 11th, mm-hmm. Pius the 10th, Pius the 5th, and so on down the line. But anyway, in 1910, he became a priest, and on the 20th of September in the year 1918, Father Pio noticed the stigmata, the visible wounds of Jesus Christ on his hands and his feet, as well as his side. Now, for our non-Catholic listeners, or for those who simply don't know, the sacred stigmata, as it is called, is the very brand mark of Jesus. And St. Pio, along with his fellow Franciscan, in fact, the man who founded the Franciscans, St. Francis of Assisi, both bore these 5 excruciating crucifixion wounds on their bodies. In the case of St. Padre Pio, he bore these wounds for 50 years.
Wow.
From the year 1917 until his death in the year 1968. He heard over 1 million confessions over the course of his lifetime.
Whoa.
While penning thousands of letters to those whom he adopted, as he called them, his spiritual children. Mm. Over the course, again, of an extraordinary lifetime. And a direct quote from him, he says, "When the Lord entrusts a soul to me, I place it on my shoulder and I never let it go."
Wow.
Again, this desire to save souls, to bring souls to Jesus.
Yeah.
He would go on to make an even greater promise when he said, once again, I quote, "I have made a pact with the Lord. I will take my place at the gate of paradise, but I shall not enter it until I have seen the last of my spiritual children enter."
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the unselfishness of this man to delay his heavenly reward.
Oh, my goodness.
Until all of us make it home. I'm a spiritual child of St. Padre Pio, as is everyone whom I pray for. I ask him to take them on. So once again, we see this unparalleled concern, compassion, and love for souls that St. Pio possessed. He was gifted with the ability to bilocate and read hearts. St. Pio would plumb the recesses of the souls of those who came to him in the sacrament of reconciliation. And at times he could be quite gruff and even confrontational with his beloved penitents, but he knew it was a grave offense, mm-hmm. to God, the Father, to omit or to avoid revealing a sin in the confessional. Time and time again, you'll hear stories of someone going to him for confession, and when they're done, he'll say, "Are you sure you're done?"
Oh, wow.
And they would kind of look at him dumbfounded and say, "What do you mean?" He goes, "What about this issue you're having with your mother-in-law? You want to talk about that?" And of course, the confessors or the penitents would be shocked.
Yeah.
But this was a gift that God gave him. And I just think that in the case of St. Pio, very few people understood the power of the sacrament of healing, mm-hmm. that he did. He knew that sin had a poisonous effect on the soul and that poison had to be expelled from one's very being. And it's through the confessional. Countless hours he would spend in the confessional, 18, 20 hours a day. Interesting fact, too, I should point out that in 1947, a young priest named Father Karol Wojtyła visited Father Pio, who promptly told him he would rise to the highest post in the church. And in fact, Father Karol did become Pope John Paul II.
Mm.
So in this respect, he was a prophet, and Padre Pio was canonized into sainthood by none other than Pope John Paul II on June the 16th in the year 2002. At his canonization mass on that sweltering day in June of 2002,
wow.
Pope John Paul II, once again the man who Padre Pio once prophesied would indeed ascend to the chair of St. Peter, addressed the 300,000 on hand in St. Peter's Square with these words, and he evoked a quote from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, 25 to 30. Josh, I think you have those words taken from that homily.
Yeah, so the St. John Paul II on that faithful day said, "The gospel image of yoke evokes the many trials that the humble Capuchin of San Giovanni Rotondo endured. Today we contemplate in him how sweet is the yoke of Christ, and indeed how light the burdens are whenever someone carries these with faithful love. The life and mission of Padre Pio testify that difficulties and sorrows, if accepted with love, transform themselves into a privileged journey of holiness, which opens the person toward a greater good known only to the Lord."
Yeah. Mm. I mean, St. Pio understood the importance of the cross, the glory of the cross, as he would say. And only through God's mysterious ways can an instrument of torture become an instrument of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But we see it time and time again with the saints, and we know that we're called to pick up our crosses as well.
Amen.
You have another quote, Allison?
Yes, Chuck. Yeah, another quote. "Pray, hope, and don't worry." And this has been an inspiration for many.
Yeah. Yeah. And he would go on to say, worry is useless, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I oftentimes think of, I think these words have been removed from the Mass, where we pray to free us from all needless worry and useless anxiety.
Yeah.
As if any worry is needful or useful, right?
Mm. None of
but,
it.
But we know, and this is a quote that we can always pull out with our friends. I mean, mm-hmm. so many people suffer from anxiety these days.
Yes.
And this is just such a great quote to just tape across your mirror when you wake up in the morning and you see it. Just pray, hope, and don't worry.
Absolutely.
God's got it all under control.
Absolutely. And he is the patron saint of adolescents, civil defense volunteers, stress relief for anxiety. And he is also the patron saint for healing, suffering, and pain, known for unifying his own suffering with Christ.
Yeah, and suffer he did for 50 years with the very painful stigmata.
Yeah. Mm.
Certain saints just elicit a different response when you mention their name in conversation, and I think he's one of those saints.
When you
mention him to a fellow Catholic, their eyes light up. Everyone has a story or a quote that they remember from him. I know on my father's deathbed, literally, on Christmas Day a number of years ago, back in 2017,
mm-hmm.
I gave him a Padre Pio medal on Christmas Day, and he wore it for 10, 11 days, and then he passed into eternal life.
Oh, wow.
And now I wear it in honor of him, and again, to honor this great saint and to seek his intercession, to remind me to seek his intercession. And I'm fully confident that he accepted my father as one of his spiritual children. And he was waiting for him at the gates of heaven when he passed away to usher him in.
Wow.
Check out this quote. This one's challenging and beautiful. "The life of a Christian is nothing but a perpetual struggle against self. There's no flowering of the soul to the beauty of its perfection except at the price of pain."
Mm. Yeah.
Once again, we see the glory of the cross, the necessity of the cross to pick it up and to walk with the Lord, and he lived it.
He sure did. Another quote, "My past, O Lord, to your mercy, my present to your love, my future to your providence."
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And again, this speaks to the idea that we shouldn't worry, certainly about the past, which is gone, or nor the future. We pray, we hope, and we don't worry. So, Allison, you know, a lot of us bring these little prayer books to church, and I've had this one. It's tattered and worn. It's the Franciscan Brown, and it's a St. Padre Pio prayer book. And there is a prayer in there that's offered on his feast day, which, of course, is today. So I thought you could maybe close us with that prayer.
Absolutely. "God, our Father, by your Spirit, you raised up St. Padre Pio to show your people the way to perfection. You made him a pastor of the church to feed your sheep with his words and to teach them by his example. Help us by his prayers to keep the faith he taught and to follow the way of life he showed us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen."
St. Pius of Pietrelcina.
Pray for us.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Do you remember our memory verse this week? It's Proverbs 12:23. "The shrewd conceal knowledge, but the hearts of fools proclaim folly." Closing us out, Kayla Glenn, Health Advocacy Department Director from RHM Gynecology, will be discussing fertility awareness.
I am so happy to have Kayla Glenn, Health Advocacy Department Director and Certified Femme Health Educator for Reproductive Health Medicine and Gynecology, here with me. And we are going to be discussing fertility awareness on our fourth segment in our Women's Health series. So welcome to the Quest, Kayla.
Thanks, Allison. Happy to be here.
You know, cycle education and fertility awareness is really, really important for many different women. So why is charting your cycle beneficial outside of fertility?
Gosh, I love talking about this. Okay, so honestly, I would say like the biggest reason women should chart their cycles is not to conceive or avoid, but to identify any underlying health issues they may be having. So when you chart your cycles, you're looking for different biomarkers that your body is trying to relay to you. And when I say biomarkers, what I'm talking about is cervical mucus, physical and emotional symptoms, and your period. These are all things that should be recorded, whether that's on a paper chart or in an app chart, every day. And we can use that information that your body is giving you to know where your hormones are at in real time. So something that, you know, we've learned over the years is what women's bodies should be doing hormonally throughout their cycle. And when your cycle, when your biomarkers are not matching up or lining up with the cycles that are normal, we can then know, oh, something's not quite right here. And we can do a little bit more digging. And what's really cool about that is we're not taking a shot in the dark. We're not spending a bunch of money to try to figure out if something is wrong or where the problem lies necessarily. We can look at your chart that, I mean, you've been doing that for free, right? That doesn't cost any money to know what your body is doing or what your body's telling you. And we can be like, oh, well, it looks like the problem's kind of here in your cycle. So let's get some blood work. At this point in your cycle, we can already narrow down like what the issues might be. So we don't need to spend a lot of time in this area of your cycle per se to try to find a problem. And, you know, that brings me to why charting for teens is super important as well. I think a lot of people think like, my daughter doesn't need to learn how to chart. Like, she's not trying to get pregnant anytime soon.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us back to, well, if she is having problems with her cycle, she has really painful periods, or maybe she's not getting a period at all and she's 16 years old. She needs to start charting so that we can try to figure out if there is a problem. And if there is one, we can help treat her in an appropriate way rather than, you know, throwing birth control at her.
I know.
Or just saying like, oh no, this is normal. You're a woman. Like, don't worry about it. And then, okay, 10 years later, she's 26 trying to have a baby. Well, honey, there's been something wrong for a decade and no one's looked into to why. And now that problem has gotten worse, you know?
Yes.
And here she is wanting to have a baby. Well, first we gotta fix the problem as to why you maybe can't get pregnant. So Teen Femme is a program that I teach as well, along with Just Femme. And that is appropriate for women between the ages of, my youngest patient is 11.
Wow.
And then I would say through the age of maybe 15, 16. And then after that age, I move more into the quote adult femme education. And the only difference really is we talk a little bit more about fertility in the adult femme, and there's just more detail. Whereas the teen femme program is more geared towards hormones, like what's going on in puberty and like why your hormones may seem so crazy and why boys' hormones might seem so crazy. And it just helps for teens to, like, I think, respect each other
more,
and to just like not feel like they're so crazy, you know? But
and that they're normal, right? That God created our bodies this way and that there's nothing wrong, or we can figure out exactly what is going on. So no, that was beautifully said, Kayla. Now, what does charting your cycle actually mean?
Yes. So when I say chart your cycle, what I mean is you are using different colors and symbols that are taught to you by a femme instructor to reflect the biomarkers you're viewing or feeling that day on a paper chart or in an app. I prefer my charters to chart on paper for the first few months because that visual feedback that your brain has seen is really helpful when learning how to chart. And then after a few months, once you're kind of getting the hang of charting, moving over to specifically the Femme app, there's some other great apps out there as well. But the thing I love about the Femme app is it is simply for recording data. It's not going to predict anything. Now, a lot of apps will try to predict when you're going to ovulate, predict when you're going to get your period, et cetera, et cetera. And that can actually cause a lot of confusion because different environmental factors and just things in general can cause you to ovulate at different times in your cycle, which can actually cause you to, you know, get your period at a different time than maybe you typically do. So, you know, like your cycles might typically be, let's say, 26 days long. And when I say cycle, I mean first day of your period, through to your next period.
Okay.
So that might be 26 days long. And then all of a sudden you have a cycle that's, let's say, 31 days long. Well, now you're sitting there thinking, oh gosh, is there something wrong with me? Mm. Or am I pregnant? Well, you might have just ovulated later, but now you're at like, but you're sitting there being like, well, my app told me I ovulated at my normal time. Well, the reason it's doing that is because it's using the data that you've put in there from the previous cycles to predict when you're going to ovulate. It's not taking what into account what's going on in real time with you. So that's why I would warn about using any app that is trying to predict when things are supposed to happen. But yeah, that's what charting means. Charting your cycle means is to use symbols and colors to reflect what your biomarkers are saying to you.
Can you chart your cycle if it's not regular or normal? And I would think it might be beneficial to do that, right?
Yes, I would actually argue that it's more beneficial for mm-hmm. women who have irregular cycles to chart them, because women who have super regular cycles can, you know, in a sense, rely a little bit on their patterns from previous cycles. You know, they can like kind of be like, well, I'm going to ovulate right around this time. For the last 5 years, I've been ovulating right around this time. And this is about when I'm going to get my period. Well, women with different underlying health issues, such as, let's say, PCOS, that's the easiest one. And I would say most common, their cycles, you know, really can be different every single cycle. And they really might not have any idea when ovulation is going to take place. It could happen on cycle day 22. It could happen on cycle day 40.
Yeah.
And that's stressful, especially for women with PCOS that are trying to conceive. You know, they yes. might be missing their fertile windows, things like that. So yeah, charting for women with irregular cycles is especially beneficial because you can see in real time what is possibly fertile and what is possibly not.
Quick question. Why shouldn't someone just use an app to chart instead of taking a class?
Yes. Okay. I get women all the time that will start taking a class with me. And like one of the first things that they mention is like, wow, I have been charting incorrectly, or I've been using this app completely wrong. The different types of cervical mucus really need a good description from an educator, I think, because there's going to be nuances in each individual's cycle, and those need to be addressed with an educator regularly. There are fantastic books out there that do teach you to chart, but again, they're kind of doing like this overarching explanation of things.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're working with an educator, like she's going to be able to look at your cycle each month and be like, okay, here's what I see. Explain to me what you were seeing. And then she can like affirm or deny that you charted that correctly. And then if you have something like unusual happening, she can point that out or help you try to figure out if it's normal or not. And something that's great at RHM, Reproductive Health Medicine and Gynecology, where I work, is we can actually get you in touch with your provider pretty quickly. Like if I have an appointment with a patient and I see, like this seems to be happening. That's weird. Let me message your provider really quick and yeah. see if she wants to see you sooner rather than the time that you already have a follow-up appointment with her, or see what she has to say. But that's something that's really cool about RHM is care is streamlined there between cycle education, your provider who's checking, you know, looking at your hormones and supplements, medications.
So Kayla, where can people get more information about your fertility awareness services or RHM?
Yes. RHM's website is rhmgyn.com. If you give them a call, we'll get in touch with one of our front desk women who all love their job, by the way. RHM is made up a bunch of moms who love their families and love their jobs. Dr. K, Dr. Nicholas Kongawasa, our boss, the founder of RHM, has made it possible for women like us to be home with our families while also working at a place that we love and are passionate about.
Wonderful. Well, Kayla, Glenn, thank you so much for taking time to bless us with this fertility awareness information.
Thank you so much, Allison.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And we are back. It's about 8:55. I think we got a few minutes to talk about how we can keep the Sabbath holy. This is from Church Pop. So Allison, you got, remember, you sent me this cool article. You got a few notes you want to share with us?
Well, I do. So what do you think is the best way we can keep the Sunday holy? What do you think?
Just lay in bed all day.
No.
Miss Mass.
No. Number one, attend Mass.
Oh, yeah. No, that's way better.
Padre Pio here, it's on his feast day, he said, it would be easier for the world to survive without the sun than to do without holy Mass.
I love that.
So let's really ponder that, right? Because how many of us truly understand this?
Go Padre Pio.
Yes, good, that's quote. Number one. Attend Mass. Prepare a special meal. And I loved hearing Father Silloway talk about, you know, for feast days and things like that, having a special meal. And it's important. Sunday's a holy day. So why not get together and have a special meal celebrating Jesus's resurrection? Because that's what we celebrate every Sunday.
Yeah, I love that.
And let's see, number three, rest and reflect. How hard is it sometimes to wind down even on the Sabbath day? Definitely rest is important. Set aside time for an afternoon nap or a leisurely stroll after truly reflecting on the day's gospel or homily. And again, on Friday, when you listen to the Morning Quest, you hear Sunday's gospel. So you already are preparing for the Sabbath.
Yeah, I like this one.
The last one, you know, this is one that I got to focus on and work on. Skip the chores. You know, sometimes it's so easy because it's downtime for me to start working on chores, but in our fast-paced world, sometimes Sunday becomes that catch-up day of running to the store, doing laundry, and like, you know, granted, sometimes we have no choice in the matter, but we should try to restructure our lives to make it a peaceful day.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I do like this one. Before we go, I'm going to upclose this. Engage in spiritual reading or entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like maybe I'm sitting at the you know, Amazon Prime, and I've got the choice between watching, you know, some superhero movie or like The Chosen.
Yes.
You know, like something that actually, something that's about the life of Jesus or the faith that might nourish me spiritually or triumph of the heart.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
It's like maybe in that instance, it might be good to lean on the spiritually nourishing side of the entertainment equation.
And final one, focus activities around family or community. So again, during the week, sometimes our lives are busy, things get pushed aside. Let's focus on family and our community.
Amen.
I just want to jump in here real quick and just mention that there's an accident. The right three lanes are blocked on Georgia 400 right after Holcomb Bridge Road. So avoid that area.
Yes.
Avoid that area. And if you're in the car, you'll have plenty of time to pray. So let me kick it off for you. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
World without end. Amen.
Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.